Monday Night Talk on Twitter. Start at 959watd.com/Monday Night Talk. And don't forget to add hashtag Monday Night Talk to your tweets. We now return to Kevin Tachi and Monday Night Talk.
Okay, usually in radio, you know it's live radio because sometimes things don't work out as planned. Now, my next guest is here, but we got Jeff Deal. Jeff, you're on the line?
Yes, I am, and thanks. I'm sorry about that. A busy day for Donald Trump's campaign.
Well, we got to be just real quick. We didn't have a chance last week. We knew that Representative Deal was going to be named the co-chair to Donald Trump's Massachusetts campaign. How have you been received in regards to this news?
Well, Kevin, I mean, I was on with you Monday night, and from Tuesday, the day we announced it, to today, and really I don't anticipate tomorrow being any slowdown. It's been media calls every day, national papers, television interviews, radio. So it's been nonstop, and the response is phenomenal. And by the way, you're seeing that reflected in not only the Enterprise, which is expecting a massive turnout in Brockton tomorrow, because they're saying it's because of Donald Trump, but also Bill Galvin, the Secretary of State, has announced that there are about 20,000 Democrats that have changed their party affiliation, and that I think it was 3,500 new Republicans added to the rolls. So, and he attributes that to the Donald Trump phenomenon as well. So, quite honestly, I think you're going to see a remarkable, historic day tomorrow on primary day.
I'm just going to ask you a quick question before I turn you over to Mark Allegra, who is going to be my guest in just a moment. What made you decide to go with the Donald?
You know, Donald Trump has a similar reason for doing what he's doing, like when I first ran in 2010, which is really, you know, Beacon Hill, I didn't feel was listening to the citizens back in 2010, and I ran, I won. Donald Trump is successful in business. He knows how to do very well there in multiple industries, and now he wants to do that in obviously politics. He's proving that he's successful here. And so I think when people get to, you know President Trump, they're going to be amazed at what he's able to do for our country, which hasn't been done for, you know, quite a few years. And I think that's why I was attracted to him. I know he's going to deliver on what he says.
Hello, Jeff. How are you doing? It's Mark.
Hey, Mark. Speaking of another guy who is going to deliver when he gets into Congress.
I'm sitting on the other side of the table tonight.
Yeah, and I'm on the radio. It's about, we're all shifting places, right?
We're all shifting. It's like musical chairs.
Right.
Anything you want to ask him real quick?
No, Jeff and I get a chance to talk from time to time, so he's been very helpful to our campaign, and we're really happy to have him on board helping us.
Well, Mark, by the way, is just one of the other guys who gets it. It's time to start working for the people, and that's exactly what we have to happen on November elections, along with Donald Trump.
Well, Jeff, continued success. Hopefully it'll spell or translate into success tomorrow night. When the numbers are read in 26 hours, we'll see what happens. We'll see how things shake out for Super Tuesday.
Excellent. I'll certainly be talking to you about this next week when we go over the results.
Sounds like a plan.
Thanks, gentlemen.
There he is, the State Representative Jeff Deal, who's also the co-chair for Donald Trump's Massachusetts campaign. And we turn our attention from one campaign to another campaign. As Jeff kind of teased it, Mark Allegra, who is a talk show host, here on Tuesday. Is it Tuesday night?
Wednesday nights.
Wednesday nights. I'm sorry. There's so many talk shows.
On the Mark. Do I get to do my...
Sure. Go ahead. You get a few seconds.
Simply Intelligent Talk.
And you are on after... Actually, I'm sorry. You're on after the All Things Food.
Jeff and Eileen, right?
Yeah. Because I listen.
Yeah, my wife loves to listen to that show.
To the your show or the All Things
No,
Food?
She likes Jeff and Eileen's show because she thinks I'm a wise guy, so she never listens to my show.
So you're taking your hat off and you're throwing it into the ring. You are back running, if this is another crack at, another bite of the apple.
That's right.
For the Massachusetts 9th Congressional District. What is the reason why you're in this race?
Now, simple question to you. Are things any better than they were 2 years ago? I think a lot of people feel that way, and it's just too important. And I'm going to have another shot at it. I said back then they're going to have to drag me out by the ankle screaming, and I meant it. This time we have a seasoned campaign team, and we have a battle-tested candidate, and we're going to have a very nice result on November 8th.
Folks want to go to Mark's website, www.markallegro, A-L-L-I-E-G-R-O, for congress.org. He admits he is not a professional politician. He's more of a scientist and an educator. What do you feel are the issues? Are the issues any different than they were 2 years ago?
There's a lot of them still hanging around, of course. It's not that different a time. But there's a couple that have stepped up to the fore. And there's also at least one completely new one that's kind of come to the front of people's minds. For most people, depending on whether you're a national security type or an economist, it's either the economy or it's illegal immigration. Those are the two big issues that I'm hearing for people. And then another one, which is sort of at a different level, but is on everybody's mind also, is this opiate mess that we're facing. And
epidemic.
Yeah.
It's an epidemic.
You know, it is. It's a crisis. And those words are so overused today that it's hard for me to use them. But it's true. It truly is a crisis. And all three of those subjects, and particularly the dissolving southern border and the opiate crisis, are very closely linked. Most people don't know it, and some people who know it don't want to admit it. But when you just remind people that more than half of the heroin that comes into this country comes across that southern border, more than 50% of the methamphetamine and more than 80% of the cocaine comes across the southern border, if you want to put a dent in the opiate crisis in this country, one thing you could do is to seal up the southern border.
Seal it up with a wall?
Oh, there's lots of things. We're not going to have enough time, actually, in this short segment to talk about all the things.
Well, unless you can do brick by brick for the wall.
No, I mean, there's so many things that could be done. We have to discourage the people.
Is it just the southern border, or do we have problems? Donald Trump has said that it isn't just the southern border.
We do, that's right.
Canada people are just coming in through Canada. We have to worry about that.
Right, and moreover, it's people coming through the seaports and through the airports that are overstaying their visa. But right now I'm just speaking specifically about how it relates to the opiate crisis.
Would you be on board for a wall? Would you like to see a wall? Or would you like to see multiple things take place besides a wall?
Oh, there are multiple things that have to be done. I would certainly be pleased to see a wall go up. It would not be my first choice, but the reality is it may have to be our first choice. But what you want to do is you want to get National Guard down there on the border that are, even if you're going to build a wall, that are closing up the traffic, you know, in between the regions where there are very few spots where there's actually an effective barrier. I got to tell you that. And if you're going to have
drones. You've been down there.
What's that? Yes,
I have.
You've
been down there.
Been down there. There are places where you can crawl under or walk over without even soiling your trousers. I mean, it's just easy to walk across.
You can take the tunnel. I believe that there's been a few different tunnels that they have found.
Right. There's one bigger than the Cape Cod Tunnel.
Oh, my goodness. The one that has been rumored for years.
That's right. Except the one on the southern border is real. And it gets a lot of traffic.
So it isn't like the Loch Ness monsters of tunnels. This thing actually exists.
And they spring up. You shut them down, they spring up elsewhere. But they just climb over the fences or cut through them anyway. So you do need a fence of a different construction if you're going to have a border fence.
So I want to give you an opportunity to kind of pick out a couple of other issues. I've picked out a couple that you want to sit and talk about. What are some of the other issues? I know one of them here that amazes me that we're not hearing a whole hell of a lot about, and that is our foreign policy. We have to have probably, this is the worst that I've ever seen, our foreign policy. I've got to believe that the next president has to do something about it. How do you feel about that?
You're implying that we have a foreign policy.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
You know, it's a mess. I mean, the Middle East is a mess. And this is another big issue from when I spend a lot of time on the phone talking to people and a lot of time out in the district. And this is another big one. People understand that the mess that's the Middle East is spilling over onto American soil, even if people in the administration don't want to admit it. You know, the terrorist attacks at UC Merced, it was a stabbing attack, it was a mass stabbing attack, it was a terrorist attack. You know, the Santa Barbara,
yep.
Tennessee, you know, on and on and on. So we can pretend that it's only a mess over there, which it is, but it's a mess that's spilling over into American soil, just like it is on European soil these days, too.
Joe, do you want to ask a question?
Do you think that out of the three or four big issues, which one seems to be the one that is highlighted as the number one concern? Is it the opiate issue that is prevalent throughout the district?
I think people are screaming mad about illegal immigration. That's the one I really get back probably twice as much as
And do you see that Massachusetts may actually, even though we're far removed from that border, do you see this area, New Hampshire too, as being just as adversely affected by that as, say Texas or New Mexico or somewhere
Absolutely.
Like that?
Absolutely. Yeah. And what my little byline is what happens on the border doesn't stay on the border. Mm. It comes up in the form of drugs. It comes up in the form of a depressed economy and crime. Yeah, absolutely. And it hasn't hit here. You know, the effects on the southern border, the bordering towns in Texas and in Arizona, those are immediate effects. The effects that happen in places like Massachusetts and New Hampshire takes a little longer, but they permeate everything because they affect the economy.
I have to ask you, somebody running for Congress, how do you feel about who we have for candidates running? Do you feel that we have a competent leader, whether it's, I mean, it's obvious you're a Republican. Do you feel within your own party that of the five people who remain, that one of them can be a competent leader?
Yes, I do. And let me back up. Out of the 17 who originally came on board, I think probably about 15 or 16 of them would have been decent presidents, certainly
really?
Much better than what
okay.
we have. Of course, I have my favorites. Months back, my favorite was Scott Walker. He wisely got out. He's undamaged, and he's back in Wisconsin doing all the right things and driving them nuts in Wisconsin. I can work with, and that's a good sign. When they hate you, you know you're doing the right thing.
Right.
I could work with any of the three top candidates. I could work with any of the five candidates that are still standing and would be very pleased to and intend to.
Do you feel, looking at tomorrow, Super Tuesday, are you looking and seeing, you know, you look at social media, you look at what the media itself, national media, is putting out there as to, you know, the Republicans are beside themselves that if Donald Trump is in fact the nominee, that, you know, they're going to do whatever they can to destroy themselves because they don't want him to be the guy who takes it. Do you feel that that's something that's accurate?
It's overblown. I know that there are some in the establishment that would prefer to not see Trump win this nomination, and they'll do what they can to oppose him, and that's fair enough. That's what what the whole nomination process is about, but the media likes to blow it out of proportion. The fact of the matter is that unless something happens in the next between tomorrow and the 8 days after that, unless something happens to actually reverse the momentum, Donald Trump is going to be the candidate on the Republican side, and he's going to win the presidency. And I'm going to tell you right now that it's going to be 54 to 45. Save a recording of this.
Really?
So you can come back and praise me for my accuracy later.
Well, it'll be a podcast, so you can go back and listen to yourself
54
over
to 45, Donald Trump.
Because that's what we do here. We usually put the podcast up as itself. I'm going to take a picture of you. The picture
you
will be
it.
There. This was the moment that he said it.
I said it. Whoever wins on the Republican side will be our next president. And it's looking like it's going to be Donald Trump.
I honestly feel it's the Republicans' race to lose.
They'd have to blow it. That's right.
They'd have to blow it.
Which they've been known to do.
I mean, it's not too often. And myself, I'm not somebody who's a scholar when it comes to all the presidents that we have had. But the last time that we had a party that was able to hold on to the seat was, I want to say, Reagan Bush.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
That's right.
That was the last time. Otherwise, it just kind of goes back and forth. It's like an ebb and a flow. You know, you go conservative, you go liberal. You conservative, you go liberal.
There's no metric working in the favor of the Democrats right now. Absolutely no metric. I'm talking about things like the ability to hold on to the White House for three terms in a row. I'm talking about the party's candidates' performance in the election when the economy is bad. And don't kid yourself, it's bad.
Mm.
You know, so there is absolutely no metric that's working for the Democrats right now. And it's worse than even, you know, what the public pronouncements would suggest. It's going to be very bad for them in November.
If you are elected in November, what are some of the first things that you would like to do to help your district?
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, I look forward to coming back to the district. A specific issue in this district is the whole flood insurance deal. And we've talked about this before, and I know Joe is very interested in this topic. That's got to be corrected. We can't have people that are on the verge of losing their houses because they can't afford to pay their flood insurance.
Sure.
Unlike the incumbent who's riding around on his white horse, saving everybody from it, while at the same time having voted in Congress for the National Flood Insurance Reform Act, we need to roll that back, and it will be rolled back. What's the other thing? You know what I'm interested in doing is coming back to Massachusetts, and I expect to spend a lot of time in district. I'm not going to disappear in Washington, D.C. I'm going to come back in district, and I'm going to do a significant job of stumping for other excellent state Senate and state representative candidates. You know, that will be the power of a Republican congressional sitting congressman. The other thing is that at the moment, we have absolutely no voice in what goes on in Washington, D.C., because all nine of our House representatives and our two Senate representatives are in the minority party. So they're not in the majority of any of the committees. They have absolutely no voice. This particular incumbent has almost no voice of his own anyway. But to be in the minority party makes him even more useless. So we'll have a member, a representative in the majority party.
If you're fortunate enough in September to get the nomination to go up against the incumbent, mm-hmm. what are some of the issues you're looking at to kind of go head-to-head with them about? Or is that something that you want to keep close to the vest?
No, it's an easy question to answer. I mean, I get a lot of feedback from both people working in the campaign and from friends out there who are volunteers or just are supporters of the campaign, and they shoot me emails. Did you see Keating said this? He did that. He said that. And I tell them, I say thank you for all this information. But the truth of the matter is I know everything I need to know about the incumbent already at this moment. He's a shill for the White House. He's a party line voter. It was very interesting, but we had some coverage in the Cape Cod Times a couple of weeks ago, and they felt it necessary to go speak to his spokesman for a response. And she said, and this really makes me question their judgment collectively, she said, you know, Mr. Kay is, he sits on the Homeland Security Committee in the House, and he's very proud of his national security record. And I'm saying this is the gift that just keeps on giving. Because not only is he exhibiting bad judgment, but he's unhinged if he wants to say that this is a record to be proud of. This is a fellow who every opportunity votes in support of things like sanctuary cities, open borders, votes in support of greenlighting nuclear weapons for Iran, and he's proud of that record? This is wonderful. I couldn't ask for more.
Joe, do you have a question before we go?
Yeah. How do you think turnout will affect the race with either the general or the primary?
Yeah. In short, Democratic turnout is going to be probably a little bit lower than it typically is in a presidential year, and Republican turnout is going to be powerful. And you can see that already shaping up by the first four states, and it's going to continue. There's a lot of voter, I want to say enthusiasm, but it's really angst and anger. And they're going to come out and they're going to slap the party that's in power in the White House right now.
You got out early enough where you actually, it seems like you've got quite the support from a lot of the folks here in the district. Have you heard of any other party candidate that's come out, or do you feel as though right now it's you're the lone horse right now?
There's some noise from one fellow who's in Plymouth County, but to tell you the truth, he's got issues, and I'm not going to go into great detail about it, but people need to know. I mean, you can't just move up from Tampa, Florida in December and then register as a candidate. You know, you haven't voted in Massachusetts, much less, you know, you're not a registered voter in Massachusetts. And then all of a sudden in mid-December, you register to vote, you register as a candidate, and you change your Facebook page to say you're from Marshfield. People, that's exactly what people are sick of.
Yeah.
They're sick of that kind of thing. So we focus on what we have to do. We're going to be facing Keating in November, and that's for Mr. Keating to worry about.
How often are you ramping up as far as getting out there, whether it's standouts, whether it's doing campaign events? What have you got anything that's coming up that you want to kind of promote real quick?
Well, we do actually on March 10th at the Jenny Museum in Plymouth. The proprietors there are going to put on a fundraiser and reception.
It's a Thursday night, right?
Yeah, 48 Summer Street, Thursday night. March 10th, and we have a bunch of other things that are on the schedule. We haven't stopped since 2014. We're not going to stop. So,
and of course, you get a chance to kind of talk about it on your show every Wednesday night at 7:00.
We drop little hints.
As I would expect, if you want to find out more information about Mark, go to his website, www.markallegro, A-L-L-I-E-G-R-O, for Congress. org. And of course, I'm sure we're going to hear from Mark again somewhere down the road, as we'll have him in. We try to at least have some of the other folks who have shows on. I think we're one of the few shows that try to do that, to have folks in, other than Mark being a candidate. That was kind of the one thing. But eventually, you're going to come on just as a guy who does a show here on ATD. It does a good show. What's been some of the interesting topics that you've had a chance to talk about? And
well,
do you want to promote this Wednesday show?
Sure. I mean, well, of course we do. Actually, we're preempted by the UMass basketball game this Wednesday. But we do current events, and we do some political talk, but we've had both the sheriff and the DA on to talk about the opiate thing. But we also do some fun things. We've had some musical shows on the event of Cole Porter's 100th birthday. We had a great pianist in who knew the American Songbook, played a lot of music. Same thing with Frank Sinatra. Coming up, it's going to be Jackie Gleason's 100th birthday. So we're going to do a nice, fun program. So we try to mix it up. Christmas time, we did a, you know, you don't want to be talking about this stuff at Christmas time.
Sure.
You want to be thinking about your family and your own Christmas traditions. So we try to make it fun for people, mix it up.
Mark, we want to thank you so much for coming in.
Thank
we want to wish
much.
You continued success campaigning towards September and hopefully for November after that. We'll, of course, be in conversations down the road somewhere. We will step aside when we come back. More Monday Night Talk. Don't go anywhere.
This is Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi, on 95.9 WATD.